Today is August 20th, 2026. This is your AI briefing for Business Pragmatist. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover DeepSeek's MIT-licensed V4 Pro release and the pricing arbitrage it just opened up, Google's Gemini 3.7 flash benchmarks, Stripe's $7 billion acquisition of OpenRouter, and what Cursor's new Origin platform signals for your engineering roadmap. Here's the number that should be on your CFO's radar this week, 2.5 to 5 times. That's how much DeepSeek just raised its own hosted API prices, days after releasing V4 Pro under a full MIT license. Think about what that actually means. DeepSeek open-sourced the weights, then immediately made its own hosting more expensive, while third-party providers like Lambda are still serving the identical checkpoint at the old economics. That's not a theoretical inefficiency. That's a live arbitrage window sitting open in your infrastructure budget right now, and it will close. Two technical details are worth understanding before you act on this, because procurement teams get them confused. First, DeepSeek didn't build a mixture of experts model here. They distilled more than 10 specialist teacher models, covering math, coding, and agentic tasks, into a single production checkpoint. That's a compression technique, not an architecture. And it matters because it explains why the model performs broadly without the routing overhead MoE systems typically carry. Second, DeepSeek's multi-token speculative decoding is delivering up to 78% faster generation, a technique that moved from research paper to production in roughly 6 weeks. If you're running SLA-bound coding or agent workloads, that's worth benchmarking against your own traffic before you trust the headline number. Now layer in Google. On August 13th, Google shipped Gemini 3.7 Flash, positioned as its most intelligent workhorse model yet for coding and agents, just 3 weeks after the prior Flash release. Picture the benchmark chart Google published. On Automation Bench, the score jumps from 17% to 30.4%. On a GDP-Val-style evaluation, 22% to 34%. On Frontier Code, 34.4% to 43.6%. And on Google's internal DeepSeek benchmark, 49% all the way to 65.3%. The curve across every one of those charts points the same direction. Steep, self-reported gains, unaudited by a third party, arriving on a 3-week release cadence. That cadence is the real headline, not any single score. So what's the strategic play for your board here? It isn't picking DeepSeek or picking Google. It's refusing to pick it all. The practical move is a cost-based routing layer, something as simple as a light LLM configuration that points the same model name at both DeepSeek's own API and a third-party host like Lambda, and lets the router send traffic to whichever is cheaper at that moment. That costs engineering time, not capital expenditure, and it insulates you from the next single-vendor repricing event. Given that DeepSeek moved from preview to this pro release in roughly 4 months, the old annual vendor review cycle is obsolete. Quarterly re-benchmarking is the new baseline for any team with meaningful inference spend. More importantly for your build roadmap, the same portability logic showing up in model hosting is now showing up in agent tooling. Cursor launched Origin this week, an agent-native alternative to GitHub that lets coding agents query, comment, and commit against a code base without leaving the agent interface, timed almost exactly with a 6-hour GitHub outage, which is either bad luck or very good marketing. Cursor supports mirroring, so teams can pilot Origin without migrating off GitHub outright, and that's the sensible entry point. One developer's caution is worth repeating to your engineering leads. Treat this as a coding harness with an unproven multi-year reliability record, not a GitHub replacement, until you've run it in mirrored mode for 6 to 12 months. Building on that portability theme, there's a practical workflow worth adopting today if your teams use Claude Code or Codex. Package your internal skills library as a GitHub-hosted plugin, rather than a local folder. One operator documented losing 150 skills, over 500 hours of accumulated work, when a local folder deletion had no cloud backup. The fix is simple. Structure your skills repo by department, require auto-update on every seat, and treat GitHub as the system of record instead of Drive or Dropbox workarounds, which reliably break for non-technical staff. And here's the number that validates all of this as a category, not a fad. Stripe just closed its acquisition of OpenRouter for $7 billion against a $1.3 billion valuation only 3 months earlier. That's a 5x markup in a single quarter, and it tells your board something important. Token routing and gateway infrastructure is now being priced as durable architecture, not a feature that gets absorbed into someone else's platform. That OpenRouter number also crystallizes a build versus buy decision every platform team is facing right now. Build your own router in-house and you get full control over routing logic with no per-request markup, but you're signing up for ongoing maintenance as new models ship every few weeks. Buy a managed layer OpenRouter style or self-hosted light LLM as a middle ground, and you get provider coverage faster at the cost of a dependency you don't fully control. One fintech engineer framed it well. These acquisitions are bets on category durability, not standalone unit economics, and that's the lens to use when you're justifying a routing layer's cost to finance. A cautionary counterpoint on the build side. A recent tutorial walked through building a reinforcement learning library entirely from scratch in C, no PyTorch, no Jax. Hours of live debugging on matrix and backpropagation bugs by someone who already knew the field, and it was still incomplete by the end. The lesson generalizes well beyond that one project. Only build custom low-level infrastructure if you have genuine research novelty, a hard latency constraint, or an IP defensibility requirement. Otherwise, your default should be an existing framework or a managed platform. On the MLOP side, treat vendor balance sheets as a live input, not a footnote. Hyperscalers are reportedly carrying around $1.5 trillion in lease commitments, with roughly $1 trillion of that off balance sheet, meaning the financials a GPU or colocation vendor shows you likely understate their true leverage. If you're signing a multi-year contract above $10 million annually, add SLA continuity and step-in rights now and re-benchmark that vendor's economics quarterly. And a sobering data point on measuring the wrong thing. In mortgage lending, loan origination costs actually rose, and servicing costs stayed flat, despite widespread generative AI document automation. The automation worked at the task level and got absorbed by process overhead anyway. The fix is to instrument cost per outcome, not task completion rate, as your primary production metric, with a 12-month trigger to pause further point solution spend if that number isn't moving. So here's the pairing to carry out of this briefing. The opportunity is real and time-bound. DeepSeek's pricing gap is open today and will not stay open, so a multi-host routing layer is the cheapest insurance policy available against the next vendor repricing shock, whether that's DeepSeek, Google, or whoever ships the next Flash Cadence model. The risk sits right next to it. Every one of these gains, Gemini's benchmarks, Origin's reliability, DeepSeek's speed claims, is self-reported and unaudited, and the mortgage industry's experience is a live warning that automation gains can evaporate into process overhead if you're not measuring cost per outcome directly. Build the routing layer, but build the outcome measurement discipline right alongside it. Stay strategic. I'll see you at the next briefing. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.